This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. The ongoing battle between law enforcement and about 400 people protesting the Dakota Access Pipeline erupted again this week. The Morton County Sheriff's Department defended its use this weekend of a water cannon on the crowd as crowd control and to extinguish fires started over the weekend. A spokesman for one of the indigenous groups protesting under the hashtag NoDapple said that activists had lit two bonfires to stay warm and to cook in the freezing cold. To better understand the bitter land use and rights dispute that has been going on for generations, cartographer Carl Sack headed to Standing Rock Reservation. To get there, he relied on a hand-drawn map that a friend had posted on Facebook. And once there, he started working on a new map of the site where thousands of Native Americans and their allies have been protesting. Carl, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
There are plenty of maps of the area, but you made your own. So what did that reveal about the conflict?
Well, first, I want to just, correct something that to make sure that we have the details right, which is that the pipeline route itself does not run through the current Standing Rock Reservation. It runs only a couple miles away from the reservation boundary is where it crosses Lake Oahe, where they will drill under Lake Oahe. And that's just a few miles upstream of the water intake for the Standing Rock Reservation. Now, what it does go through is territory that was designated by the 1851 Treaty of Fort Laramie as Sioux Territory. This is a historic treaty, peace treaty, between the United States government and the Sioux that sought to stop the fighting between the Sioux tribes themselves and other tribes and between them and the U.S. government. And it's never been legally superseded. It wasn't a treaty of cession. It did not give up Sioux lands. It designated lands as Sioux lands. And no legal treaty between the United States and the Sioux ever since has given up that land.
There are two different pipeline routes here. There's one that was the original pipeline route and then the proposed pipeline route, with quite a difference in between them. And what does the revelation of those two show us on your map?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So the originally proposed route went a few miles north of Bismarck, North Dakota. And Bismarck and Mandan, which is right next door, are majority white communities. And the Army Corps of Engineers, after hearing public feedback, essentially said, no, you can't use that route because a number of reasons, one of which being that it threatens the water supply in the event of a breach. So they viewed this alternative route, the current route, as a better alternative, and that goes south of Bismarck and Mandan, but crosses the Missouri River under Lake Oahe, which is a dam part of the Missouri River, much closer to the water intakes for the Standing Rock Reservation. So a lot of people have pointed to this as an example of environmental racism. And I want to say, too, that I think that the people of Bismarck and Mandan have every right to clean water, just as the people of Standing Rock have every right to clean water. What I hope for my map is that it doesn't give the impression that people were wrong to demand that the pipeline route not put their water supply at risk. My intent is simply to show that there seems to be a double standard at work here, and if one community's water supply at risk is a problem, then we should consider all risk to water a problem.
So Energy Partners, Energy Transfer Partners, the company behind this, has its own map of the pipeline route. In the article that you wrote that we found, you take issue with it. What's wrong with their map?
First of all, it's what we cartographers call very small scale. In other words, it's zoomed out and covers a very large area. So it's hard to see the communities that would be affected by that pipeline. But on top of that, what you see, if you look at this map, which you can easily find on Google, is that they've put pink polygons that are the shapes of all of the counties the pipeline route goes through. So what that does well is it highlights which county jurisdictions might have some say over the pipeline route or something to say about that route. What it doesn't really take into account, though, is that those polygons, those pink shades, obscure all of the cities and towns and smaller Indian reservations that might be there. It, this kind of covers over the landscape. So you can't even see what communities that people are actually living in that the pipeline passes through.
So by having a better map, what happens?
I've been really inspired by Professor Zoltan Grossman's quote that the side with the best maps wins. And what that says to me is that when you tell people a story about the spatial relationships of places that are at risk, from resource extraction, from mining, from pipelines, from railroads, what have you, it reveals a whole new dimension to whatever conflict it is or whatever issue is at hand. Maps really have power to visually demonstrate what is at risk when you're talking about an environmental issue like Dakota Access Pipeline. Yeah, you have pictures of police in riot gear facing off with protesters, video of police using water cannons on protesters, of protesters locking themselves to equipment. And that's all great and tells one story. But unless you zoom out a little and tell the broad spatial story of what's going on where and what is at risk where, it's hard to really understand what the stakes are.
Carl Sack, a cartographer and a grad student at the University of Wisconsin's Department of Geography. Carl, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
You can find a link to his article and take a look at his No Dapple map at Standing Rock at our website, wordofmouthradio.org.